bless you. Amen. Bless you, Lord. All right. I enjoyed that. Amen. I did anyway. Anybody else enjoy it? All right. Did you enjoy that, Brother Varun? Amen. I appreciate you, amen, being willing. And I'm glad he is. He is our shepherd, amen. There is no other way into heaven but through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking they were singing that song a while ago about Buddha and Muhammad and their bones still being in the grave. We were down to the University of Florida doing some work on the college campus one time, some ministry out there. And there was a girl come up, and some of her guys had tried to give her a gospel tract, and she wouldn't take it. But at the same time I was preaching, they had discovered what they called the God particle. Now, I don't know all the details of that, but it's supposed to be in the particle that caused a big bang or the boom or whatever. And I was preaching about the only one way in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, you know, your scientists have spent millions of dollars and found a God particle, and for $20 I bought a King James Bible and I got the whole God. And so I'm starting to draw a crowd, and she sat down and listened to me. I guess she thought he's crazy, but she sat there and listened for a while anyway. And I went and started talking to her, and she was a Jewish lady, and she told me that she was an atheist. And she said one of the reasons she rejected Lord Jesus Christ, she said, I reject it because of the virgin birth. She said, that's foolish. She said, I don't believe it. She said, nobody's ever seen it happen. But she also said she believed in evolution that would come from monkeys, and she had never seen that happen either. But about 45 minutes, she let me stand there and talk to her, this atheist girl, tell her about the Lord. And she said, one of the reasons that I don't believe in him, she said, outside the fact I deny the virgin birth, she said, there's no archaeological evidence of Jesus ever being here. She said, you can't go dig up his bones anywhere. I said, young lady, the same reason you reject him is the same reason that I accept him. He wouldn't be God if his bones were still here, because he took them with him when he resurrected the third day, and he's on the throne in heaven. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. But I was able to witness to her. She didn't get saved, but I shared the gospel with her a long time. And there was a couple of guys from India that were saved, and they come over and started witnessing to her. After about 45 minutes, I just let them have it. I went on. But I'm glad that there is no archaeological evidence of the bones of Christ here. Amen. You can't go dig him up. You can dig up Buddha, I guess, and Muhammad and all of them. You can dig them up, but you can't dig our God. He dug us up, amen. I'm glad we'll go see him one day, be in heaven with him. But we are excited to be here tonight, and it's always good when we get to come back to our home church and share the gospel. And I do pray for us this week. The Lord help us, give us souls as we travel. Got a lot of traveling we're doing this week, and just excited to see what God's going to do, see the lives get changed. The homeless compound, a lot of needy people. Last time we was there, I think it was a 14-month-old baby. Very rarely do we see any children out there, but it was a 14-month-old baby out there. The last time I tried to witness to the mama, every time I try to say something to the mama, the grandma would butt in and told me that she had the baby's mother baptized when she was young. And I said, ma'am, she'll die and go to hell trusting baptism. And just kept trying to share the gospel with the mama. Grandma just wouldn't shut up, just to be honest with you. But I got to thinking, I had some coloring books in the car, and ministers got some coloring books we use on what is missions. And we got another one that's deals with forgiveness. Basically, it's a gospel tract for kids to color. So I got to thinking, now this mom, I know women like to color, no matter how young they are, how old they are. But I asked that mom, I said, does that little girl like to color? She said, oh, she loves to color. I said, do you like to color? She said, I love to. I said, I got no crayons, but I got some coloring books. She said, well, I got some crayons in the tent. I said, let me get you a coloring book. I said, now what I would do if I was you, I would read every page of this coloring book to this little girl before you color the page. She said, that's exactly what I'll do. And I said, praise the Lord. Grandma can't stop that, amen. So I'm just excited to go back and see. I don't know if they'll still be there. I hope that they're in a home somewhere. I hope that things are going good for them. But if they're out there, just pray we'll get to find them again and share the gospel. Most times the crowd that hangs around there, that lives there, is so rough. If there's a kid comes in, thank God social service gets them out of there. And I'm glad that they do, because there's a lot of people just got out of prison and can't be around children and stuff. But just help us pray that whoever's out there this week, there are some changes at the compound trying to shut part of it down. But just pray that God will open every door that he wants us to go through. We got them socks from Miss Cindy and her class, and I'm excited to share that with them. Last time we was there giving out them socks, a guy come to me and said, you the one puts a note down on the toe of that sock? And I said, that's me. And he says, these socks got notes in them. I said, it's highly likely, amen. But so I just can't wait to go back and see. Had one lady one time, she's come up to me and she said, preacher, she said, my socks had a note down in the toe of it. I said, is that a fact? She said, that thing spoke to me. I said, ma'am, did you get saved? She said, no, I'm already saved. She said, but I took my note around, showed everybody. And the note down in the toe, if you don't know, it says you could put your socks on tonight or this morning, but the undertaker could take them off all your night. Where would you spend eternity? And it's got the plan of salvation wrote on it. So we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do. Do pray for us this week. Juvenile detention center, some very hard kids, and some of them been in some bad situations. I shared some stuff with the men in the prayer room, some things we can't share because who they are and different things. But I had a boy there one time that spit in the Bible, Preacher Mark. I'm telling you, it made me fight mad, just to be honest. Brother Todd, that preached here the other Wednesday night, was with me. He didn't get mad. He got his heart broke for that young man. And was able to witness to him the next night to come back. I didn't think he would let him come back in, but he did. And he stayed over about 40, 45 minutes after service. And we got to quote Psalms 23, quoted some other scriptures. But we're just trying to pray that the Lord touch him. He was worried about getting out of the gang that could take his life or whatever. But we try to share with him, if you get out of the gang and they take your life because you're saved, you're going to heaven. They may decide to take your life anyway. If you're lost and you die and go to hell. So I'd rather have Jesus. Amen. So do pray for us, Lord, to help us this week to be able to know and say the things that God would have us to, and sometimes to know what not to say. That can be a very good key too. Sometimes better off just keep our mouth shut, let God speak to their hearts. Amen. But have your Bibles tonight. Let's look over to Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus chapter 15, if you find your place. Let's stand together tonight to reverence the reading of God's precious word. Exodus chapter number 15. I don't know what all the preacher, I just heard just a second ago what the preacher preached on about the shepherd and stuff, and I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd, amen. He's a good shepherd, a great shepherd, but I'm glad he's my shepherd, amen. If he's your shepherd tonight, if he is your shepherd tonight, and you know that, can I tell you, we don't have to worry about the same things that the world has to worry about. That's not the message tonight. This is the message for the message. But the Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that don't mean that we want to have another need in our life. It means we'll never want another shepherd. He knows we're going to need food and water because he's leading us out in green pastures and still waters. He knows we're going to need rest. And our men don't like to talk about that, but he said he'd make them lie down in green pastures. Right. So if you're one of his tonight, can I tell you, we've got something the world don't have. We ought to live like we got something the world don't. Our attitude ought to reflect the fact that we've got something the world don't have. If the world sees us as miserable as they are, they ain't going to want what we got. They already got misery. Amen. They want the answer. And I hope tonight to share with you the answer. Amen. Exodus chapter 15, verse number 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, and saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare for him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank in the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed thee as stubble. With the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Verse 10, thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead into mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy had led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength and thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty man of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Cana shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. Thou shalt be as still as a stone till the people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in a mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell. dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands hath established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be at the house of God tonight, Lord. Thank you for letting us have a copy of the Bible, Lord, that we can read tonight, Lord, and share the gospel, Lord, with the people here tonight. God, I pray, would you help me tonight, Lord? I pray, Lord, fill us with your spirit, Lord. Give us liberty to preach tonight. Give us an ear to hear, Lord. Give us a heart to receive the word of God, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And you can be seated. And as we look at coming out of the season that we would call the Thanksgiving holidays, and about to go back into our regular life, or about to go into our regular work week or whatever, I want to try to preach just a little while tonight on a reason for continual Thanksgiving. A reason for continual Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving shouldn't be just one day of the year that we set aside and we're going to give thanks that day and then we're going to go on and do our own thing or whatever. But as we're coming out of the Thanksgiving season, some of you may have already went back to your job or may have already went back to your normal routine, but generally speaking, probably a lot of us are going to get up in the morning, a lot of people are going to get up in the morning and go back into their daily routine, maybe going back to work after being off for a few days or whatever. And what happens sometimes is just as the children of Israel, they were shouting the victory. They had got down to the Red Sea. God had let Moses come down and lead them out of Pharaoh's bondage and lead them out of Egypt. And it seemed like things going to go good. And they get backed up against the Red Sea. And it looked like there was no hope. It looks like they were doomed. It looks like they was in trouble. And they was either going to be killed or they're going to be took back to Egypt. And no telling how hard they're going to make it on. But God showed up and miraculously rolled back the Dead Sea, let the children of Israel cross over on dry ground. Amen. They walked through muddy water. They didn't walk through a swamp or whatever. Let them walk over on dry waters and drew Pharaoh and his men out, sent the sea back in on them and destroyed them. I'm glad I still believe that. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Are we serving the same God we had back then? Sometimes we have things come up in our life and it seems like we're backed up against the wall. It seems like we're backed up in a hard place. We had no idea what in the world we're going to do. And God, you ever had a time in your life where it seemed like there was no help? There was no help, man. The best friend you got can't help you. The people that care about you, family can't help you. You backed up in a situation, seemed like nothing in the world can happen. And God just rolled back that sea of trouble. God rolled back the troubled waters of your life and let you cross over. And we're shouting a victory just like they was. The 19 verses or so that I read here today was them singing and giving praises to God for the victory that they just had. We just come through Thanksgiving. I don't know how it went here this morning. I was at a different church this morning, but I'm telling you, Wednesday night, that was a good service. I needed that. Amen. I've been chewing on that all week. I've been walking around singing that song, brother. I love that song. Been singing it all week in my heart and things ever since that Wednesday night. But what happens, the children of Israel here, it's a picture of our salvation, how we were redeemed, how we were brought out of the bondage of the devil, how we were brought out of Egypt and the bondage of it. It's a picture of our salvation and deliverance. They were just rescued from the Red Sea, and they're shouting the praises, but it don't end there. Because despite what Joel Osteen and that crowd on the TV will tell you, just because you get saved, it don't mean that the end of your troubles are over. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, yea, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now that might not encourage you tonight, but it's the truth of the matter. We can fill a building probably telling people everything's all right and everything's good. Everything's going to be hunky-dory and you'll never have a problem. What happens if you start believing that garbage? These people, the hirelings that will get up and tell you everything's going to be smooth and God's going to shake a money tree in heaven and rain down $100 bills. If you'll send them $30, they'll pray for that. If God's shaking a money tree in heaven, why they want my $30? What happens when you start believing Him, the first time that you have a trouble, the first time when things don't go the way that you think they should, the first time when you have a conflict in your life, you'll start to question and doubt your salvation because some hireling on the TV station or whatever has already told you that you're going to have no problems as a child of God. Well, the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. So a man's a liar, they tell you just because you're saved, you're never going to have any troubles. Now, I'm not trying to get you down tonight. I'm going to try to give you something to help here just in a minute. But I got to let us see that just because they were shouting the victory because they've been delivered, but that's not the end of the story. God could save us and take us home the instant that He saves us, but He chose to leave us down here for a purpose. He chose to leave us down here that we could do some stuff for Him. And doing the things that God does, we want to call ourselves Christ-like. We want to say that we're a servant of God, and we want to be servants of God till the first time we get treated like one. Then we don't like that. We'll be a child of God, say, I'm a Christian, I'm Christ-like. Well, Christ went through a lot of persecution. He went through a lot of troubles and trials. We're going to be Christ-like. We're going to suffer some persecution down here. But the same God that delivered us, the same God that delivered Moses, the same God that rolled back the Red Sea and let the children of Israel get over and destroy the enemies, He's still our God. So look what happens. It wasn't long after they were singing praises because Pharaoh was destroyed. It wasn't long after they were singing the victory because they'd been delivered that they had a head-on collision with what we call life. So we've been shouting it out last few days, talking about Thanksgiving, sitting around eating the turkey and eating the ham and rejoicing in the goodness of God and the thanksgiving to God. But maybe about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, you could have a head-on collision with life. Can I tell you, God's still God. He's still worthy of our thanksgiving. We've got a reason to continue in this thing we call thanksgiving. It's not just a day. It ought to be a lifestyle. It ought to be the desire of our heart to give thanks to God. If the storms is coming up, then thank God He's able to give us victory. He'll either calm the storm or He'll calm you. But He's still worthy of our thanksgiving. Brother Rick Gravely, I remember him preached here a time or two. And he said the other day, he said, God being so good, he said, anything less than my slaughter ought to be considered a blessing. That's some good preaching, but some hard living. But He's still worthy. If I go home tonight and everything I got down here in this world is gone, He's still worthy of our praise. God's sure been good to us. But look what happened right here. Let's go on and see. We've seen a picture of our salvation. Now, let's look at a picture of our daily walk, starting at verse number 22. Now, they've been singing the victory. They're shouting it out because they was delivered from Pharaoh and his armies. But look what he said in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink for the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? What they were literally saying, they said, we're going to thirst to death. We're going to wither and die. Wait a minute. That was the same people just a few minutes ago was singing and praising and thanking God for His deliverance. That can be a picture of us in our daily life if we're not real careful. Because what'll happen? We'll get up, start to go to work in the morning, start to go about your daily routine, start to go here or there, may have doctor's appointments this week, and you might not get the results that we want, may get something in the mail tomorrow, may get a phone call we don't like when we get out of here, and we have a head-on collision sometimes with life, but God is still God, and He's still worthy. Did they not thank the same God that could part? I mean, they didn't hear the story of the Red Sea. They lived it. Can I tell you, I didn't just hear the story. I did hear the story about salvation, but I've not just heard the story of salvation. I have lived it. Have you lived it before? Is God your God? Has He delivered you from the hand of the devil? Has He not delivered you? Had He not brought you through some hard times and troubles and trials? He's the same God. He's still worthy of our continual thanksgiving to Him for what He's done for us. There they are murmuring. It's a picture of our daily walk. We go through the same troubles and trials that lost people do. Hey, maybe somebody here tonight and you're lost and you're thinking, well, if they're going to go through all that, if a child of God's going to go through all that, I'm just not going to be one. Can I tell you, we go through the same troubles that a lost person does, but there's one big exception. Get a hold of this tonight. I don't face them alone. I don't know what I'll face tomorrow. I don't know what I'll face tonight. I don't know what I'll face 10 years down the road. But praise God, Preacher Mark, I know who will be with me. In the midst of the troubles, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the hard times in our life. As a matter of fact, I think some of the hardest times in my life is where God showed Himself the most and the mightiest at, is in the trials, in the troubles of our life. If we never had a problem, we'd never know how good God is. We'd never know what God's able to do. It's hard to rejoice in the hard times, but can I tell you, He's still worthy tonight. Have you heard about God's deliverance? Have you heard about God's salvation? Or have you lived it? If we lived it tonight, then we know that we can face tomorrow because He lives. I can face tomorrow with its troubles and trials. I'm not sitting up here thinking, boy, I hope everything falls apart tomorrow. I'll be honest with you. I want to be organized. I want to have a schedule laid out. I want everything. My wife's going to give me amen on this. I want things to go just like I got them planned. But most times, probably 9 out of 10 times, they don't happen that way. And I like to stand here and say, well, I'm real spiritual and I never get tore out of the frame. I never get excited. I do sometimes. I think, what in the world's going on? God, I thought it's going to happen like I'm trying to serve the Lord. God, I just want to get in that prison and preach. I want to go tell. And God messes the whole schedule up. Or the devil may try to hinder. And God can take the mess that the devil makes and say, watch this, and give us something a whole lot better. Amen. I've got a so-called schedule laid out for what we're going to do this week. But I even told the guys, when it comes to the homeless compound, all we got to do, we'll make out a schedule. We'll say we're going to be there from this time to that time. When we get there, it may be totally different. But it might be totally different. That Larry don't get to do what Larry wants to. That God can do what God wants to. Guess what? God wins. I want God's way. I want to see God give us the victory. We used to go into prison. We would have juvenile prison sometimes, Preacher Mark, that would house 1,750 people at a time, something like that. And it's getting now to where some of the prisons are getting smaller. They're doing some things and changing some things around. Where we used to go and preach to 750 to 1,000, it may be like the other day, the prison we went to there in Butler, North Carolina, can house like 1,000 people. And it was down to 400 or 500. And we used to have 2 or 3 or 60 or 80, and maybe 100, 200 people come to service. And now we might get 40 or 50, but we get more services. If God wants it that way, who am I to say, well, God, that's not the way we need to do it. That's not the way it used to be. I don't think you faced that a whole lot. You might have. You've been here long enough now that you don't. But sometimes even a pastor, when God puts a pastor in a church and somebody else is pastor of that same church, and especially when he first comes in, and God's giving that pastor what the order for what God wants him to do and how God wants him to lead, and the pastor says, we're going to do this, this, and this, and somebody always say, well, that ain't the way we used to do it. There might not be a thing in the world wrong with the way it used to be done, but God is leading in a different direction. I'm not talking about compromising the Word of God. I'm not talking about going out of the Word of God. But if we give announcements before the service or after the service, or if we sing a song, give prayer, whatever, that's ever how God lays on the pastor's heart. Who am I to say, preacher, that ain't the way we used to do it? Sometimes things work then, and God gives us something better down the road. So sometimes things happen in our life. Y'all still with me? The picture of our daily walk, we run into things. We may run into some things this week, but the same God that we was thanking on Thursday is the same God that's worthy of our thanksgiving on Monday. The same God when we got our belly full of turkey is the same God when we're hungry on Monday. God's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still able to help us. It's a picture of our daily walk. They was grumbling. They were complaining to Moses. One minute they're singing praises unto God. The next minute they're grumbling and complaining. Saying, we brought us out here and there's no water. And he said, what shall we drink? All right, let's look in verse 25 and we'll see the remedy. I like this. Verse 25, and he, talking about Moses, he cried unto the Lord, get hold of this, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and ordinance that there he proved them. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. They're worried about getting poison from the water. They're worried about thirsting to death. I like when Moses cried out to the Lord. What did the Lord do? The Lord showed him a tree. I come in and sit down right in front of a tree, Brother Mark. I was thinking about that. We shout on the deliverance of God. We shout on the goodness of God. We shout on thanksgiving. We're going to give thanks to God. Then on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, it went 3 days later, Wednesday morning, have a head-on collision with life. We're thinking, what in the world? I'm going through persecution. I'm going through rejection. I'm going through, I don't know if my job's going to hold out. I don't know how we're going to make it through Christmas. I don't know how I'm going to pay the light bill. Can I tell you, when all that stuff starts to come against you, what we need to do, we need to throw the tree in. When we factor in what God done for us on the cross, when we factor in what God did, when He died on that, I tell you, it makes our problems a whole lot smaller, Preacher Mark. When we look at what God went through for us, when we look what He endured on that cross for us, we throw the tree in, our problems will look a whole lot smaller.
Amen, brother.
He redeemed me, Brother Scott.
Amen.
Bought me back from the hand, delivered me from the hand of the enemy. I could be the one that's at homeless camp. I could be laid out there drunk. I could be laid out high in a ditch somewhere. Witness to a man down in Florida the other day. His arms were so knotted up. Them veins where he'd been shooting drugs in him had a stench of sin on him. Had been out, had some little scrap metal. He'd probably been out stealing scrap metal somewhere. And we pulled him over. Brother Mark got talking to him, sharing the gospel with him. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I know what you're saying. I know I'm going to hell." He said, "But if I get saved," he said, "I got some habits that's going to be real hard for me to quit." "What'd you do?" I told him, "It's not going to be hard. It's going to be impossible for you to quit." That didn't help him. If I'd have stopped there, it wouldn't help him. I said, "But sir, there's a God in heaven. Can get them needles out of your arm. He can take the beer and the bottle out of your hand. He can put a Bible in your hand. He can get that need. He can get that desire for that drugs out of your life. You'll never be able to quit in yourself, but there's a God in heaven that's able to help you." I told him about Brother Barry Spears. Y'all remember him, our anti-alcohol rally? Shooting heroin 15 years, riding with the Hell's Angels. Drunk, getting drunk, shooting people, being shot at, held people hostage, all kinds of stuff. And God got him back down there pastoring a church now. And he ain't hiding out like some kind of a coward. He's in the same hometown where the Hell's Angels said, "I'll kill you if you come out." They said, "We'll take a grinder and grind them tattoos off of you. We'll take a blowtorch and burn them off of you." And God's got him right in the same hometown, pastoring a church right in the same town. God pull a needle out of his arm. He can pull a needle out of anybody's arm. We can shout the victory. We'll throw the tree in the matter. Keep looking at our problems. Boy, my problems are real big. You must have a small God then. Not downplaying the things you're going through. But I'm telling you, our God is bigger than any of our problems. Bigger than any of our troubles. He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the water, cast that into your troubled waters. The devil don't want you to think about what God went through for us. If I was the devil, I wouldn't want you to think of it either. Because when we think about what God done, what God's brought us from, I tell you, there have been times you say, "Well, I've never seen God rain manna out of heaven." If you be real honest, there's probably some people in the room today who didn't know where your next meal was coming from, and God showed up, and that was raining manna out of heaven, amen? Yeah. Might be some times where you didn't know how he's going to make 1 week meet the other, how he's going to get 1 month to go from one to the other, but if you cast a tree in the middle of it, can I tell you, it works?
Yeah.
IRS still scratching her head trying to think how missionaries make it. I cast a tree in the middle of it. Things going to be all right. Preacher, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Just trust the Lord. Just keep trusting the Lord. That's what he said. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, listen for him. In the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of the battle, if we'll listen for the voice of the Lord, if we'll seek for the voice of God, the hand of God, he'll show up. If you'll put the hand of God in everything you go through in life, eventually you'll see God's hand in everything that you do.
Amen.
You'll cast a tree in the middle of it. He said, which is in your right hand, his side, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Look in verse number 27. Now we've seen the picture of our daily walk, and we've seen the picture of our remedy and thanksgiving. Here we see a picture of rest. The Bible said, they came to Elam, where there were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. This place called Elam. As we look at this, some things kept jumping out. We see the wells that was there. The wells, when you look at water, when you look at types in the Bible, water has two different types. Still water, or a pool of water, or a well of water, if we can, is a picture of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, they said they encamped there, right? So what we need to do is camp out in the Word of God. I got thinking about that, Preacher Mark. It is a picture of the Word of God because it's still water, because it's in a pool in the well. But if you'll dig down deep inside that well don't have water in it just because the rain fell down in the hole in the ground, right? Somewhere down deep inside that well, there's a stream of rushing water. So that tells me, brother, if we'll encamp in that Word of God, if we'll get down in the well of that water, and we'll dig down deep inside that well of that water, somewhere down deep inside the well of that water is that rushing water of the Holy Spirit of God, that when we're going through troubles and trials, when we're going through the battles of our life, Preacher Mark, if we will encamp in that Word of God, if we'll get down there, dig down deep in that, we'll get straight because we're casting the tree in. We're not trying to fix our problems on our own. We're going to cast a tree in, Preacher Mark. He'll give us a place of rest. That's kind of a type of heaven. When I think about that, there were some things he said there. He said there were 12 waters, 12 wells of water. The number 12 in the Bible is a number of government. That tells me when God's in control, it's going to be all right, whether I think I've got water to drink or not. Whether I think I'm going to survive or not. In God's government, God takes care of everything. I think about palm trees. Palm trees there is a picture of victory. When you look at the type, what palm trees stand for, it's victory. So God said if we'll trust Him, even in the hard times, if we'll still give Him thanks and give Him praise and listen to heart, if we'll cast a tree in, He'll take us to a place where there'll be no more suffering, no more sorrow, a place of peace, a place of perfect government of God where God takes care of His children. Ain't none of us going to pull up a stool tonight and have a witness against Him. We can't sue God for non-support. He takes care of His children.
Right.
Maybe going through these bitter waters in your life, there is a place inside the Word of God we can find rest.
Amen.
Let's go one more place tonight. Look in Isaiah chapter 53. Maybe you're going through some things tonight. I tell you, Isaiah 53, what I'm trying to do with Isaiah 53 is cast a tree in. Y'all give me just a few more minutes, all right? We're going to cast a tree in. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what hardships. I know there's places in Wilkes County that's shutting down jobs. There's places in Wilkes County where jobs are moving away. There's people. I'm attending a prayer room tonight. Those that are sick, those that are about to die, those about to cross over, those that are lost, those are going. I'm telling you, we live in some troublesome times. But He's still God.
Amen.
Our Thanksgiving don't have to end on Thursday. But He's still alive and well. He's going to be alive and well on Monday morning when it's time to go back to work, when it's time to start preparations for a week, when it's time to start the next things. Isaiah 53 is a special chapter to me, Preacher Mark. To me, just reading it, it stirs my heart just to read it.
Amen,
the selections, I've done some study on it. The selections in this chapter were quoted 7 times in the New Testament by 6 different writers. 7 is God's number for perfection. The vicarious or the substitutionary sufferings of Christ are declared at least 8 times in this chapter. 8 times he talks about Christ being our substitute. 8 is a number of new beginnings. If you'll cast a tree into the mix, we'll factor the cross into our troubles and trials, we'll see that God gives us a brand new beginning. That's what number 8 stands for. And I like it because the gospel message not only shows us that He died, but shows He died for our sins. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Now as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Can I tell you, if tomorrow you face rejection, maybe this Thanksgiving, you face rejection by your family sometimes because we're children of God, because we don't drink and we don't cuss and we don't participate in what things somebody else. Sometimes we get rejected. Sometimes we get shunned by certain people. Can I tell you, if you face rejection this week, he faced more rejection than we do. Let's cast a tree in. They may reject us, Brother Chris. We may face some rejections. We won't face what Christ faced on that cross. When I factor in the cross, makes my troubles a whole lot smaller.
Amen.
Look at verse number 4. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And we look at these verses here in verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. We may face some persecution. We may suffer some things down here. But when we cast a tree in, when we factor in what God will never face, the persecution that he faced. We may go through some things down here, but we ain't going through nothing like what he did. Preacher Mark, if we'll throw in a tree, what God done for us on that cross, it makes all the difference. Let's get these last two verses. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul. He shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servants justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I see victory right there. We go through things down here. We go through troubles and trials. Sometimes these holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, can be some of the hardest times. We have loved ones that's not here anymore, and we miss them, and it's hard to go through these things. We still got the victory because they got the victory. My dad died back in 2016. I still miss him, Preacher Mark. But I know where he's at. He's got the victory. I told the men in the prayer room, it was hard watching what disease done to his body, but when a smile come across his face as he was crossing over, it made all the difference in the world. The devil don't want you to see that. The devil wants you to see the troubles and the trials and the hardships. I don't put you on the spot, Brother Casey, but can I get you to come to the piano tonight? That'd be all right. I'm going to get you to sing what you sung Wednesday night. If that's all right, if we can do that tonight. But before you do, you just go ahead and sit down if you want to start playing some. Let me tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, I got a feeling it's going to happen, some of us. We're going to get up tomorrow. We've been thanking God and giving thanks and praise to God. And seemed like we had a few days, maybe a couple of days around the house. Things going good. Get up in the morning, the old car might not even start. You go out, it might be cold, it might be raining. You're headed to the job, or you're headed here, you're headed there. Old devil said, boy, thought you was praising God. Thought you was going to give some thanks to God. Thought he is worthy. And there we are down in the dumps. We're grumbling, we're complaining. Just they shouting the victory. 1 minute, Preacher Mark, singing praises. And the next minute, they're grumbling, they're complaining. Look at the house you got. Look what somebody, hey, you got this, but they got a beautiful home, and your shutters are falling off, and shingles is hanging, and you got a leak over here, and a faucet won't quit dripping. And what are you going to praise God for? Give us that first verse, brother. I tell you what we need to do. When the devil starts putting that junk in your ear, y'all just throw your head back, right? You say, preacher, I can't sing a lick. Can I tell you? It won't matter one bit. It'll be a joyful noise. That devil starts persecuting you. That devil starts throwing troubles and trials and telling you, you ain't got this and you ain't got that and you're going through this and you're going. Just give me that first verse. Here's what y'all put your head back and sing this.
Looks upon me. As
the devil
struggle,
said, you're struggling. I might be, but I got God on my side.
They say
he might say, I got nothing, but he's so wrong.
But
I got
they
God.
Are so wrong.
Let's stand to our feet.
In my heart,
you need help tonight, come and get it.
I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord.
He's worthy tonight.
For your blessings on me.
Hold on just a minute. I know what the devil's going to say then. He's going to say, yeah, but you got a light bill coming due. You got Christmas coming up. You know little Johnny needs braces. Little Susie got to have this done. And you got things you're going through. And well, I just don't know if you're going to make it this time. I know God's been good to you before, but I just don't know if you're going to make it this time or not. Give us that second verse, brother. Will you do that? Here's, throw your head back and sing him a verse this right here.
Now I know I'm not wealthy.
Ain't a thing the devil can do about that. If you're a child of God,
are not new.
I don't have much money, but Lord, I got you. Ain't a thing the devil
money,
can do about it.
But Lord,
do you know him tonight? Let's
give
him a wave off now. He's worthy tonight.
And to me, that's all that matters.
Let's throw the cross in the matter. Let's throw that devil. I want to hear about that cross. Yeah, but I want to hear what God's done. He's worthy enough. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings.
Lord, for
God's
your
been too good to me.
For
me to get down in the dumps. Get the Monday gloomies.
There's a roof.
Sing it tonight.
Up above me. I've a good place to sleep.
I ain't eating out of the garbage can. I'm not sleeping in the woods. I'm not sleeping in a back alley. I don't get up in the morning and have to stick a needle in my arm. I don't get up in the morning and have to have a drink of liquor. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
And a fine family.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. He's worthy tonight.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Let's do it again. Let's do the whole thing again, can we?
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.